Somebody bring me a Coke.
No, I'm joking. What's up? I'm here with Johnny. This is Mike at the Mad Wop. It is 7 p.m. Eastern. What's up, Johnny?
Not much.
Yeah. And we are the TRS is still stands for... I can't think of what it is. Anyway, we are retaining the social distance for a little while. One, because we don't really want to go out and touch normies. And two, because I do not believe the conservative media when they say line going up, therefore everything is fine. We are not line trusters.
No, absolutely not.
And I was telling you just before you cut out because the internet went shitty and we started the show. There's a thing that's happening where, and Alex actually predicted this a couple weeks ago for astute listeners of TDS, which actually was the distancing stuff. That was what the joke was. Alex said, Americans are dumb and they have high time preference, and the conservative media, coupled with people's natural high time preference, is going to mean after like a week or precautions, people are going to get bored and they're going to start ignoring them. And that's going to lead to another spike. And I think that right now, it's just the flu bro 2.0 phase. And this is a predictable part of a pandemic curve in which there's a dip and then just the flu bro 2.0 starts. And then you get pandemic 2.0 afterwards, which is a bigger spike. It might not happen, but, you know, if you want to accuse me of running around with my hair on fire, that's fine. I mean, I could use something to shorten my hair.
Right.
I mean,
so basically what you're saying is this is when they install the Wraith technology into Verge, and then we wake up the next morning and it's like, you know, gone off the charts, right? Remember that?
Yes, I do remember when they managed to pump and dump Verge. Oh, man, those were good times, man.
It's a similar – I think it's a similar thing, the whole sequence, like the Fibonacci-esque type numbers that are – the predictions.
You know, there were just certain...
What do you make of the what do you make of the like the people that are saying that these predictions are fake and gay, the world predictions, you know, the virus deaths, you know,
first of all,
and then the little
predictions are always fake and gay. Models are never correct. Models are correct usually along a pattern, a curve pattern. They're never correct in their numbers. So the fact that this guy who said U.S. would get 2 million deaths and the U.K. would get 500,000 or whatever. Some scientists said this, and now he's gone back saying, oh, no, it's going to be much less. I don't know. One, I don't know that I ever even heard of that guy before. Supposedly, he went back on his word. I don't know that I ever, you know, I don't think I was even saying I would guess that numbers of deaths, I think there's going to be 100,000 or so dead people in the United States from this. That's what I've actually been, that's been my prediction from the beginning. And if that turns out to be high or low, then whatever. My prediction is high, I mean, whatever. Point is, like, if you really think it's over, then go out to like a Hasidic wedding.
right.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm not. It's like I just really think that I'm suspicious because I'm also, as we talked about last time on the show, I'm suspicious of, and I think I understand why people do these narratives, certain types of conspiracy narratives that talk about how the government wants to, you know, they're destroying the economy on purpose to insert martial law, and I just think that's wrong. Like, the purpose of this government, of this system, if you will, the government, corporate, neoliberal, global complex, is line. Okay, it is the line in the stock market. This is what they live and die by. It's what they want. They don't like to be, they didn't want this interruption. They don't like it. Having to deal with it is not something they wanted to do. It's hurting them. The Fed, I mean, Jazz Hands went through in the first few minutes of FTN yesterday, the amount of shit they had done. I didn't even know how much it was. It was like, $1 billion and $1.5 billion than like having the Fed be able to loan directly to big companies, which they've never done before, having some kind of special liquidity market that they opened up to create liquidity on a daily basis, and then that's like what is the $2 billion, then $4 billion, now $6 billion stimulus, it looks like, they pass in Congress.
Brilliant.
Six trillion. Yes, 6 trillion. I'm sorry, 6 trillion. Yeah. Anywhere I said
don't
billion,
forget the
I
meant 9 trillion. Billion. Yeah, that's what you meant, trillion, because it was one week before last. They put on Friday. They put $500 billion in, and it line went up for 12 minutes. Then it went down again, and then they put another trillion in, and line went up for about 2 hours.
Right, and so now we have six trillion in this stimulus bill passed on Wednesday. I think, which they wrangled over, and you know, what are we getting out of that? We're getting a $1,200 tax prebate, as they call it, a tax prebate, a pre-fund. Basically, you're getting your tax refund early, and if your tax refund isn't $1,200, well, then guess what? You get to pay come next April. But you know, that is what produced bump in line. Like if you look at line, and it's gone up a little bit, but starting to go back down again, actually, as of about now.
Sure.
They managed to go from 18. It was at 30. It went down to 18. Now it's back up at 22. That's what it took, like about $10 trillion to do that of Fed liquidity, right? And so
it took a number that nobody's ever going to be able to count to do that.
And nobody really even knows what the hell is going on. So my only point is like, and conservatives, as soon as they see a positive indicator, every conservative, particularly boomer conservatives, have been on this the whole time. Like Bill Mitchell and such, they've been doing this the whole time. It's no big deal. It doesn't matter. This is a Democrat plot. It's like whatever, whatever. I just find that incredible. I first of all, like that guy is always wrong. No matter what, Bill Mitchell is always wrong. Second of all, conservative media, you know, Laura Ingraham comes out and she says, she's like mad and she's like, we need to know the date on which this will be over, because until we know that, we don't know what's going to happen. And it's like, do you think they can do that? Like, they can't just do that. And so
it doesn't work like that, lady.
Right. Like, and that's how kind of mired in this ideology and this way of looking at things a lot of these people are. And I think that's increasingly takes like this are spreading throughout the MAGA community and the conservative community and even the alt-right and such. And so you have to be real careful about narratives like that. I just think like the person I listen to the most on this, frankly, is Alex, who I think has been sober minded and practical about it the whole time. Like, it's not going to be the end of the world, but it's going to be bad. Do what you need to do to protect yourself and your family, and like just wear protection, you know, do certain precautions when you go out of the house and make sure you disinfect and, you know, quarantine and just basic stuff that's not even hard to do. And hey, guess what? Like, if no one gets sick and you don't die and you're fine in a year, then who cares that you, like, you know, hung up your clothes for like 12 hours after you came back in a house or something like that. You know what I mean? Who cares if you're just like aggressively washing your hands? I don't know. Overreacting doesn't hurt you.
Right.
So that's the way I look at it. And yes, no, actually what we need to do, what we're doing is we're continuing the TRS cult, which is dependent on everybody staying home to maintain our cult power. That's what's going on. I'm joking. Actually got accused of that.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, we've always known that the real power comes from the knee. So.
Yeah, well, also, the other thing, though, is, like, we have our own community. Like, I had certain gear that I didn't have was sent to me by a guy in our community. I know other things like that have been happening around, throughout our own networks that we have. And we can survive this, within our network, even if we're not like meeting up in person right now, because that would be bad. I don't want to affect any of my friends. We do have our network and our community that we can rely on. So for us, it doesn't really feel like we have lost community, whereas other people probably it does. Also, what's crazy is I saw the craziest shit today. I guess there's a place called Derbyshire in England. And apparently it's out in the countryside someplace. And they have this, this, they call it a beauty spot in the UK, which is like a big, you know, it's like a place where it's really nice, so people go to look. It's like an overlook, and there's like a little parking lot and trails and stuff. Yeah. So the freaking Derbyshire police drone unit has like drone footage. There's like six cars in this little parking lot, and they go droning over the whole area, and there's like six different people. There's a couple walking their dog. There's one guy just out on a trail all by himself in the woods. Actually, it's not woods. It's sort of like rocks and plains and stuff, whatever. It looks like it's kind of a nice overlook spot, whatever. And then they have people standing on the cliff over the rocks. Two people. Taking pictures of themselves, and they have like the drone like zooming in on them, put a little target on them, or saying, they say like non-essential behavior. I'm like, guy, this is not people that are not doing, these people are following recommendations. Like, they're not near anybody else. They're out in the wilderness. They're not even near each other. And this is what you're doing with your time? UK police that can't arrest rape gangs can drone people, can do drone surveillance of like white people on nature walks. I find this to be appalling, and exactly the kind of shit I would expect of Western governments, frankly.
Hmm.
Imagine a drone footage of like a black community where they put little target graphics over the black people.
Yeah, right.
Like, imagine, you know what I mean? So what the fuck are you doing?
Could you imagine the news of that? Like, holy shit.
Yeah, and this is doing it, and they were like, you need to follow government requirements. And it's like, they are. Like, I've been out hiking three times since this shit started.
Right.
So on Sunday, I went out, and we walked around this lake around here, and there was a lot of people out, but no, you know, I did not feel at any point, one, that wind was blowing, and two, like, whatever. You know, by a lot of people I mean, like, we passed a person every 5 or 10 minutes. We passed another group of people, or usually another couple, or one or two people, and nobody, this is not, in my opinion, the same thing as like going into a supermarket and like coughing all over everything,
right?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just found it absurd that this was going on. I was, like, thunderstruck, frankly. But then I realized, like, wait, we're dealing with, like, the UK, and, you know, the US would do shit like this, too.
Oh, they totally would. Like, yeah. To seeing the measures that people are going to do social distancing in public and whatever. Have you seen, like, the trash bags and people using, like, 5 gallon water jugs?
I saw that black guy with, like, the water bottle on his head. That's funny. That's black people when they're being funny. Black people when they're not being funny is like, here, let me cough all over the vegetables.
Well, yeah. Have you seen, there's one of a guy, I believe it's actually Bart in San Francisco, where there's a black guy licking... he's licking one of the arms. Yeah, it's great.
It's like, thanks, black people, for always reminding us why it is, you know, once I start, you know, I see the rap video, the guy's doing the coronavirus rap, I'm like, you know, black people are pretty funny, kind of amusing, and then I see black people like coughing on produce and licking poles and shit, and I'm like, oh, right, that's right, yeah, if that's, now I remember why it is that we don't want to live around these people.
Entertaining for just a second, but then, oh yeah.
The Minstrel Show is always funny, you know, like, the Minstrel Show was great. But you don't want, then you get like the coughing on the vegetables, and you're like, all right, fuck you, get out of this. This is like, it's like black people always reminding people. And then you see like older black people that are like, they're like cringing because they're like, oh, fuck, can you stop? Because it's like they always remind us like why it is that we don't want to live with them. Like, just always out here to remind you that we were not capable of living in a civilized society. Can't share space, can't have courtesy for others, can't ever think of other people, can't ever be a team player on anything. You know what I mean? Everyone's getting sick. Let's go cough on people and vegetables. Like, they were having blacks come out with videos where they're going up to white people and like cough, like pretending they had the virus and then like coughing on them. And like, oh, I'm sorry. It's not so bad. And like, I'm like, you should get arrested for that. That's something, that's some kind of assault. I don't know what, figure it out, make something up.
Did you see the ones in New Jersey that were like, fuck the curfew?
Yeah. What were they doing though? I mean, like, what's,
they were just, there's like 12 cops and they're telling the cops to fuck off, and you know, just wiling out in front of the cops, and the cops are just kind of walking alongside of him, and they were telling the cops that, you know, they run the streets, cops don't run the streets, these are our streets, fuck off, that kind of shit. You know, typical youth behavior. I think that it's going to get worse the longer that the if there's, you know, shelter in place orders. I think that the youths are going to tolerate it less than the whites.
There's no question that in urban area. And on top of that, yeah. Police now, New York City is so fucked. I can't, just so everyone, like, New York City is so fucked. Because they are getting hit hard every day. It's like now they're up to, like, what is it? Like 20,000 cases? But it's like, that's just confirmed. Like, New York State is like 36 confirmed and 20 mm-hmm. in the city alone, or 22 in the city. And their hospitals, they have like nurses with garbage bags on their heads. Like, it used to be like dumb black people in Walmart last week. Now it's like nurses in hospitals.
Yeah, because that's all they
because that's what they've got. And then, you know, they're begging the government for more shit. And I'm assuming the government's just going to give it to them. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? But they were asking, de Blasio was asking for the National Guard to come in and mm-hmm. set up field hospitals and shit. Because, look, I'm telling you, the 20,000 cases, it was like 10,000 2 days ago. And it's going to get worse. And their hospitals, you know, you say, like, oh, you know, you get asked, you get idiots like Bill Mitchell, who's like, how could the hospital system that handles X number of people be overwhelmed by 20,000 people? I'm like, right, because they have X plus 20,000, and they can't handle right. that.
This X is still going on, Bill.
Because the other X didn't go away. X still X. And they yeah. were able to...
This is X plus Y.
Yes, they were able to deal with X, right? They can handle X. But now you have X plus 22,000, and it's going to get worse. And I've heard stories coming out of New York of people, like, coming in, you know, and dying in within a day of, like, waiting. Because now they had 100 people. Yesterday, 100 people died overnight mm-hmm. in New York from this. So, look, I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. It's going to get very bad in New York City, particularly, I think, obviously, rural areas. You are, if you're prepped, if you got your groceries, you got your rubber gloves, you got your masks, you got your ammo and yep. other stuff, and you're in, like, a relatively, like, an exurb or a rural area, you're probably totally just, you're fine. You got your internet connection, you're good. Yep. No, you're fine. But New York City, forget about it. And the other thing is, now, they had a thing they're saying... you know, forget cutting off flights from China. Don't let people leave New York. Fuck them. Like, don't let people leave New York City. Because they're like, people are now leaving New York City. This is another thing. We don't know what the results of this are going to be. People that feel healthy are, like, leaving New York City. And they're fanning out across the country to relatives' homes or families or friends or whatever all over the country. And mainly, really, probably mostly in New York area. A lot of them are going to go to Connecticut. A lot of them are going to go to Jersey. A lot of them are come up to upstate, sadly. You know, and then they're going to go out further, wherever they go. And that's going to be a problem. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But I don't think that this bump in the line from a $6 trillion injection from the Fed means that this shit is anywhere close to over. Anyway, we should take calls. We've done like 18 minutes here. We should do some calls and let the callers speak. Wonderful. So I guess we can't do calls. I'm still broadcasting, but Johnny crapped out. So I guess I'll just keep talking and entertaining you. And when he comes back, then he'll just come back. Literally, as I said, well, let's take calls. Johnny craps out. And he's running the board where the callers are coming in. So, wow. Okay. I don't know. When he gets back, he'll join us. From then on, I'll just monologue for a bit here. So, yeah, you know, I think that basically what we've been saying all along, what Alex has been saying, who's, like I said, the one guy I trust, don't go out amongst the public just yet. Just keep safe, keep away from, you know, normies. And just ride it out. Like, this is not going to be the end of the world, but it's going to be very... It's not over. It's not going to be terrible. Here we go. Here comes John.
Studios host and call screener line. Please enter your show Jesus. Number and press pound.
Do you have it set? Or
just when you said internet. No, it's doing the bit. Let me just call you back. Fuck.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll keep filibustering. So I'm just going to filibuster a little bit more. Yeah, I mean, I think I said what everybody needs to know, and everyone, I think, in our community is going to be doing the bit. So, you know, and of course, TRS, the shelter-in-place cult, is requires people not to have... We were actually accused of this. We require people not to have social contact with other people so we can strengthen our internal cult here, which is... That's what we've always been about. So, yes, I'm here to... make you panic, make you fear. I'm spreading fear. I'm fear-mongering, and I don't care about the precious economy. I'm doing it to sabotage people I don't like and keep my little cult going. That's exactly what's going on. So I'm joking, but yes, that has been the accusation, in fact. But if that's true, then how did we function for the 5.5 years that we've been doing this before the virus? How did that work? I don't know. Anyway, hopefully Johnny will get back on. We can take some calls because I do want to hear from listeners about their perspectives and what's going on with them. But so, you know, I'm just waiting. But it looks like Johnny has some internet problems, and he might be crapping out occasionally, in which case I'm going to have to be filibustering this whole time. But, you know, there it is. What can you do? But yes, this Derbyshire police thing was pretty appalling. Like, if you're going out, I actually urge people to go out and do things like nature walks and hiking and stuff, because you're not near other people that much, and you're relatively isolated, and you can get some fresh air and exercise, and it's totally safe. Like, you know, Sunday was the first day of going hiking since this thing started that I saw this shit. I saw a lot of people. All right, so here we are.
All right. Sorry about that. Which, as soon as you said that, the internet crashed.
Yeah, my bad. So if your internet crashes again, I'm just going to keep filibustering, and we just figure it out. But yeah. let's bring in a caller.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's bring in a caller. We got a girl. You want a woman?
I mean, no e-girls. I don't mind. Whatever. Whatever you got, just bring them in.
Some says, my name is Jess. Okay, we'll do the bit. Show. Come on, do the bit. I'm trying to. It's not doing the bit. I think I have to reset this. I didn't realize that. Let me reset this.
Okay. Well, is it all set up, or what's going on? I've got something. So, DeMarcus wants me to play something on the air.
Okay, here we go.
Hello.
Here we go. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So my question, what would happen to, or what does it mean for white people if Joe Biden wins?
Oh, I don't think it's that big of a change, really. I mean, Joe Biden was vice president for 8 years. What was that for white people? I mean, I think that right now, there's a particular paradigm with Trump, which is, you know, Trump went from being this white people having hope, and Trump was going to cut immigration, and we were going to get some policies we wanted, we don't get any policies we wanted, and Trump is totally subverted, and he's like a neocon on crack, and that's basically it. If Joe Biden wins, I think we can actually expect to go back to sort of business as usual. And one thing that people say is that they think that even if the country goes back to business as usual, then we'll have like this massive sort of revenge that the government is going to take against white nationalists or pro-white activists and stuff. And I don't think that's the case, because I see that right now, while Trump is president, we've gotten the biggest crackdowns on pro-white activism that really the country's ever seen. I guess it could always be worse, but it's entirely possible that it could even get better. So I don't know. I don't really think...
How would it get better?
Meaning that they're not, like, gay-opping white people constantly. The FBI doesn't consider attacking, you know, white activists to be their main priority. They're not putting people in jail for emails. They're not, like, scapegoating white people, and particularly white nationalists constantly. They're not trying to blame us for coronavirus. I mean, it might not. It might just stay the same, but I don't see a big change. I actually don't see it really mattering that much at all, frankly.
Well, I have a question. Okay. Won't they crack down on the alt-right and put you all in jail?
That's what I was just responding to. They're already doing that right now.
But you think that that'll...
Like, Trump has been the worst president for putting white activists in jail of, like, anyone. Like, if you want a tally of, yeah, of the... He's been the worst. So, maybe they would, but... again, that if that gets worse, that just gets worse. But I don't see...
And I don't see how, you know, without actually actively coming after whites, how it could get much worse. You know, Trump is awful.
Well, the thing is, the reason Trump is doing it is because he's proving to his Jewish masters that he's not one of us. Right? Mm-hmm. Joe Biden doesn't need to prove that. That's why it could get better. Right? And the FBI, remember, the FBI are the ones doing this. They hate Trump. They have always, they're not changing. They tried to remove Trump from power. They're just going to remain the same. They are a anti-white intelligence agency that is basically run in the interest of Jews. That's not going to really change. And so they're going to, if Trump being elected couldn't change them, then him not being the president anymore isn't going to change them either. You see what I mean? Like they tried to get him out of office and kind of failed. And then as a condolence prize, they just started arresting, you know, people for writing emails or whatever. I think the gay ops on white nationalists, will happen as long as we're making an impact. So when we're out here and we're getting bigger and more popular as we are, like every year, every day, every week, every month, you know, and I know there's no more rallies and stuff going on, but our content is spreading, is actually getting popular. This is they and they know this, and they write articles about how frustrated they are about all the gay ops and everything they've done, yet they can't make us not popular anymore. And they can't, every time they try to do something, it backfires. Every time they try and do education, every time they try to like warn people away, it's the exact opposite. It's like they do dare to keep kids off white nationalism, and then every kid's turned into white nationalists. You know,
right.
You know, they did it with drugs in the 80s, and they made everyone into drug addicts. So I don't think that it would be that dramatic of a change for us if Biden wins, frankly.
And then can I ask something really fast also?
All right, last question.
Okay, so I actually talked to Jazz and Jesse a few weeks ago, and I'm still interested in it, so I want your guys' takes. Don't you think that Trump has been good for the economy, and a Democrat in office would be worse?
At least
economically.
Well, what do you mean by economically? Who does the economy work for in this country? Trump promised us certain things that we didn't get. So he promised us we would start to have tariffs on China, and then we should have had that before any of this virus crap. He promised us to bring back manufacturing. He hasn't really done much of that. He promised illegal immigration cutbacks. All of these would be good for us culturally, but also economically. So what we've always said we wanted is a nationalist economic platform, one that brings manufacturing back to the United States, and one that removes illegal labor. And then that has the bonus of we remove people that are culturally and racially alien, and we give jobs and futures to white people. We haven't seen that stuff.
But aren't you worried that they're going to make white nationalism illegal?
Sure, but I mean, is Trump going to stop that? Trump is as likely to do that as Joe Biden, if not more likely.
No, I don't think Trump would do that.
Sure he would. What? Like, he effectively has. I mean, first of all, how do they make listen. When you say make white nationalism illegal, that's very difficult to do constitutionally. And actually, they right now talk about this. Like, this is something that is actively talked about by elites right now, by FBI agents particularly. If you read about this, you see representatives of FBI and intelligence agencies say things like, we would love to be able to declare white nationalism a domestic terror threat. The problem is, in the U.S., there's no on-the-books designation for domestic terrorism. and they can't. All right, I'm going to keep answering this person's question because Donnie crapped out again. I'm sorry. Whoever you are, you can just keep listening to this, and I'll keep answering the question. They have declared. They have complained that they cannot declare an on the books, like out front. Now, I'm saying behind the scenes, they will treat people with certain ideologies like they are effectively criminals, but they can't openly say white nationalists are criminals. White nationalists are domestic terror threats. That's how they would do it. They would say you're terrorists. They complain all the time about fighting white nationalism is hard because you can't declare an ideology a terror threat. And they want to find a way to do that, and they can't really get around the Constitution. So the Constitution does impede them on that, and particularly it makes it even harder when white nationalists don't actually commit any crimes. So while maybe Joe Biden would do that, we don't know that he would do that, and certainly Trump is as likely, in my opinion, to do that or allow that to happen while he's president as Joe Biden would be. So whatever moves the FBI is making, Trump can't stop them if he wanted to, and Joe Biden has no interest in stopping them either. So this is why I say I don't think it really matters. I don't think at that level it may. Trump was our Hail Mary pass. And, you know, he got into the end zone and he spiked the ball for Jews in Israel and not for whites. Now he wants nothing to do with us. He don't, you know, he's not helping us. We didn't get economic things we want out of him. And he's, you know, he's been the worst president in history as far as cracking down on white nationalism, white activism, and white advocacy. So I don't think that it could possibly be worse under Biden. It was probably, frankly, just going to be more of the same. It's just going to be the same trajectory we were on. It's just going to continue. So that's it. That's why I'm not particularly enthusiastic about Trump. And so there it is. Looks like Johnny is trying to get us back online here. So here we go. Here he is. All right. What's up, fam? Maybe we're just going to have to suffer through this. But anyway, I continue to filibuster and answer that girl's question. If you want to chime in on that, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that what's going on. I don't know what you said during the break there, but she was talking about having Trump or Biden, who would be better for the economy, or is Trump better for the economy? Yeah. I think he was a little bit, and I think this kind of was all a scam to set up this whole thing that just happened. Honestly, this good economy that we have.
Yeah, well, my thing was, as I was getting to, is that the, you know, line going up in a big way. I'm not interested in their economy, which is the stock stonks, right? Stonks and Fed shit, right? Like, now it could be that if stonks and stuff, if that shit gets really, really good, there's like a trickle down effect, right? You know, to us, perhaps, but. You know, I haven't really seen it, and maybe, but that's not the point, because we wanted certain things, we didn't get them, and in the process, you know, Jews and bankers and, you know, people that own stonks and, you know, elites are doing much better. I'm not saying whites are necessarily doing a lot worse, but we're certainly not benefiting in any particular way from Trump's economy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's a whole lot. Like, I'm just saying, Trump is not of any particular benefit to us anymore. And the rhetorical and the only way possibly is the cultural benefit. Mm-hmm. But I think that because if he loses to Biden, there's going to be a frenzy of an or this is the one drawback. I'll give a bone to the person because I think she probably. Still wants to like Trump and doesn't like Biden, and I understand that. I'm not saying you're wrong. Here's the one thing I'll say, which is the possible benefit of Trump winning is that, one, we already know what the shot is with Trump. Like, we know what to expect. So for us, we get another 4 years of relative predictability, and they don't get, and this might be the one reason to hope he wins, they don't get the racism lost. They don't get that frenzy of media attention to racism lost, America defeated racism, everyone hates white nationalism and racism. They don't get that. So if Trump wins, our line is we're still not going to simp for Trump, but it shows you that white people still have some amount of power in this country and are still really pissed, and they still hate all you fucking Jewish, rich Jewish elites, even though Trump simps right. for Israel and all that shit, right? That's our narrative. If Biden simps wins,
really hard.
I mean, I could give you the narrative. We're going to go. I mean, I don't want to give the game away, but we've got, you know, I've got all angles covered on this, right? But that's like the one benefit of him winning again, I'd say. And I just think, and the other one being predictability. But I wouldn't be particularly disappointed if he lost. It wouldn't crush me, and I would think that it also doesn't matter because we are going to continue no matter what. So,
right
there you go.
Right, we're going to continue. They're going to continue no matter who wins. They still win. It's just going to be which faction is actually in control of the driving that same agenda. Office, really,
they're both factions ultimately always benefit. It's just a matter of who's got their particular puppet in the Oval Office, and then they wrangle.
I still like that quote from, I'm not sure that it was from the president of Liberia, but he said that the United States has a one-party system, but much like, as lavish as Americans are, they have two of them.
Yeah, we have two one-party systems. Yes, that's really good, actually.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty funny. Yeah, we got a one-party state, but we got two parties. Get it? Duish.
Yeah.
It's a Jew-party system,
so rich,
is what it is.
We got two of them.
Yeah. It's not a two-party system. It's a Jew-party system. And
absolutely.
It's the Jew-party system. I mean, it's like a dumb rhyme, but it's true. And again, Jews maintain power. This is the one thing that people don't understand when we talk about the Jewish question, which is why when you come out and you come to me and you say, you guys are dumb because you say that Jews are all leftists. Like I was that guy like 5 years ago, and then I got a little bit more sophisticated. It is true, like a lot of prominent leftist Jews, but that's not what this is about. Jews maintain control through dialectical control of history and politics, being on both sides of any issue, setting up the issues, setting up the arguments, and making sure both sides are Jews in control of the arguments that are teed up for you to care about. The issues of the day and the arguments for each side, they set up an issue, they give two sides of it, and then they argue about it. And it's Jews on each side. That's how they maintain control of the country. And you getting invested. This is why I because it is true that for certain personality types, one side is more attractive than the other. They've got it worked out well. And I really think that liberals being so fucking shitty is a gay op at this point. It's a gay op on conservatives to keep them invested, because when I see, particularly with Trump, like they are being terribly unfair to him, and they are lying about him, and they are making things up, and they're making, and you know what I mean? So that alone is, it makes you want to be sympathetic to him. When you go and you look, if you swim in their pool for a little bit, all of a sudden, you're like, I want to defend Trump because these people are just so shitty. But then, whenever that happens, go and hang out in MAGA boomer circles for a little bit, and you will be like, these people are these people eating lead paint chips or something? Like, what the fuck? These people are so fucking dumb.
They grew up under, they grew up around power lines and a lot of lead paint, pipes.
I think it's like, with boomers, it's like the explanation for boomers is like statins and lead paint.
It really is. That's not a controversial take either.
Well, that's funny because I was red pilled on statins just like a week ago by Sven. I didn't know that statins are blood pressure meds. Yeah, I didn't know that they did this. Okay, I've never had high blood pressure or anything like that. So I didn't know, and no one in my family takes them either. Like my dad never took them because he always actually took care of himself. So I don't know. A lot of people, I guess their boomer dad or uncle or somebody in their family takes these things, and they fucking degrade your brain. They attack the fat in your brain.
They are right. Statins are
they like make you fucking stupid.
Your brain is a computer made out of cholesterol. That's like the simplest way to do it. And statins like block cholesterol, so statins are bad for your brain. Like it just.
Yeah, there's no way to only do vascular cholesterol and not brain cholesterol. I mean, maybe there is, but they haven't found it. And so they're like, one of the side effects is definitely dementia and confusion, but go ahead and keep taking it. Hey, yep. Go ahead. It's like, oh, wow. Then all of a sudden you're watching Sean Hannity, and you're like, you know, this guy's got a point.
Yeah. Now, now you put them on oxygen because they're old. Oxygen and that low, you know, with the dementia, that just makes it worse.
Oh, I didn't know that either. So.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know as much about what's bad for old people. You know, I don't know. Anyway,
well, my family could be very, very old. So I, when, you know, which is good because we have, you know, the good longevity genetics, but just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. For Jessica, you know, or Jess or whatever her name is, you know, that I understand your sympathy and you wanting to still like Trump and don't like Biden. I totally get it. I gave you my takes, and you know, if you want to call back next time and talk about it again when we don't have this internet problem, we can do that. Yeah. But do we have any other callers teed up?
We have, we have quite a few. Let's.
This is going to be a tough one, callers. Sorry about that. Just technical issues.
Sorry about control. That. It's the coronavirus's fault. This is Jeremy from Kentucky.
Oh, cool. Yeah. All right.
If I can get him on. Hello.
Hey, man.
Hey, Mike and Johnny. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about Zuckerberg's cryptocurrency called Libra. Mm-hmm. Now, let me preface this by saying, like, I'm not going into this conspiracy about they crashed the economy on purpose and then go to cryptocurrency. But what I do want to point out is that as we've discussed on the show, you know, the Jews are not a monolith, and there are different factions vying for power. And so this cryptocurrency was talked about in 2017 through 2018, 2019. They said it was due to be released in 2020. And no, I don't think that they foresaw Corona-chan. Probably they thought maybe the economy would shit the bed under Trump and then they would come in with the answer. That might possibly be why they, you know, would plan to release it in this election year. But just some quick facts about it. This was developed and Zuckerberg met with Democrat senators in September 18 of 2019. He assured them that the Libra would obtain approval from U.S. regulators before it was ever released. And unlike Bitcoin, Libra would rely on trust in the Libra Association, which they say would act as like a de facto central bank. You know, unlike Bitcoin, which is like permissionless blockchains, which is based on. But the Libra would be based on the following currencies: 50% U.S. dollar, 18% of the euro, 14% Jap, 11% of the pound, and.
All right, we lost the call again. God damn it! This is really irritating. Sorry, Jeremy from Kentucky. We'll have to get you back on to finish talking about that. I haven't been paying much attention to Libra right now. I know that there was some wrangling over Libra during several months ago when Zuckerberg was going to Congress and talking about it, and basically I do think that it's a sort of, this is my take, maybe Jeremy has a different one, it's sort of a hedge they're kind of hedging on the economy, not the economy so much, but maybe the dollar, or they're trying to move to maybe a more global type currency, or they're trying out, here's what I really think, is the Jews are sort of trying out the idea of a global cryptocurrency and trying to start the process now. That could be many, many years or decades before we get to something like that. But I these people actually do work slowly. I think a lot of times people that have more conspiratorial narratives about the way power works, they have this idea that it's all at once something happens and then they suddenly spring on you this new paradigm, when it's sort of a gradual paradigm shift over many, many years. So the U.S., you know, 1965 was the Immigration Act. Now here we are in 2020, and we're finally just starting to really see the results of it and feel it. When for years they were trickling these people in, and it wasn't such a big deal, and then boom, now all of a sudden it's like, holy shit, we're going to fall below 50% of the population. And now you can't do anything about it. And so this is kind of how they work. So, you know, going off the gold standard, it was a gradual process, actually. Moving to basically, now, the U.S. dollar is now unmoored from any hard asset. Now, there's some a lot of benefits to that, but it has to be used right. I don't want to totally go into that right now. I know there's a big fight about that on the right particularly, but whatever. I'm on the side of MMT as the best policy, but just who do you use it for? I do think, though, they see Bitcoin and they see cryptocurrency, and then they also see national currencies, and they are starting, it seems that Libra is sort of starting the process of a privately run Jewish cryptocurrency for the whole world. And they will ultimately then, theoretically, they can move people. This is how it would work. Like, they can move people to Libra, to using Libra for transactions. And then, here's Johnny again. And then from there, you know, is Jeremy still on the line?
I think so,
yeah,
Jeremy.
I hear you now.
Okay, great, great, great. So I don't know if you heard me. You probably didn't hear me because you probably weren't listening. I was saying what I see Libra doing is what I see Libra doing potentially is being Jews kind of testing the waters for some kind of global cryptocurrency under their control of a private Jewish association. You see what I mean? Like getting the foot in the door with that, and maybe could be like even 50 years before they try, or 100 years before they try and make that our currency, because... Do you see what I mean? I don't know. Tell me what you think.
They tried to sneak a digital currency into this bill, and it got taken out.
Okay.
Did you see that?
Wow, no, I did not see that.
I didn't even know that, Johnny. I didn't even know that, Johnny. Thanks for the information.
It got taken out. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Yeah, there was a digital dollar. It was like Bill Gates. I'm not 100% positive he wrote it or he was like the main endorser of it. But they had like a digital dollar. They're talking about digital wallets. Reason being is we need to give stimulus to people that don't have access to banks but have access to the internet.
Right. And now I want to hear what Jeremy's take on Libra was.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they really thought they could crash the economy under Trump, and they were going to, you know, this faction of Jewish power under Zuckerberg would come in with the answer. Maybe they wanted to implement it a little faster. And, you know, I know that they're not a monolith. And like I said, there are articles written that actually paint Zuckerberg in a very bad light. I had one pulled up here. Let's see. The dark side of Zuckerberg's power. Powerful new crypto coin and Vanity Fair. So, I mean, you've already got the media working against this guy. I think, you know, you guys are right. Like the Jews that control the economy currently, they don't want it to collapse, and they're going to do everything they can to try to stop that collapse. But when it does collapse, and we know that it is, there's a group of powerful Jews that are going to come in.
So you have like typical with Jewish factions are like book Jews, like intellectual Jews, and money Jews. So you have like book Jews, like intellectual Jews, media Jews, money Jews, and then you have the Orthodox Jews, which are sort of like the hatchery, right? That's like we call it the hatchery. That's where they create more Jews, and then they can because those people have like 8 kids per family, so they just pump out like a ton of Jews, and they can join these various factions. Or they can stay Orthodox if they want, whatever. So it's like intellectuals, media, and money. And now we have digital Jews. That's new ascendant, that's an ascendant class within their power structure. And Zuckerberg and Larry Page and Sergey Brin are like the kings of that, right? And so those people are like, hey, we can now be the controllers of this. And I think that ultimately, though, the Jews are going to at some point ditch the idea of even national currency. Because remember, they're always progressing. So at first they were like, when they started doing the banks... and then they actually wanted, you know, gold standard, you know, I don't want to get into an argument about that, but I'm saying the gold standard was promoted by Rothschilds 120 years ago. Why? Because they held gold and they were like, no, governments, make your currency dependent on gold because I'm holding the gold, right? And then ultimately they broke away from that, and now they went to the central bank Fed system where the Fed creates liquidity and loans it to banks that then loan to the people, and then you had money Jews were in control of that. So they kind of shifted from being in control of gold, hard gold, to being in control of the money printer machine, and it's going burr for them. And now you have the digital Jews like the Zuckerbergs and the Google Jews. They're coming in and they're like, oh, we can do this as like a global digital paradigm that we control as like the tech, you know what I mean? So I think that's kind of where it's going. And we're going to see the push and pull between these factions. But right now, the money Jews are super powerful. Really more powerful than they've ever been. I mean, Mike Bloomberg holds, what, $60 billion just himself? You know, they run the Fed. They run the currency system. They run Goldman Sachs and the big investment banks, which, you know, the Fed loaning directly to companies is a that's a big step. That's very new. You know, I wasn't expecting that because typically it's the Fed loans to banks. Banks loan to you. And that's how it works. And then that way, a Jew is always in between every money transaction. They're always skimming off those interest rate differentials, no matter what. And so this is... Yeah, but they kind of they're doing this because they just need liquidity. These markets are going to shit, and stonk Jews are like, give us money, right? So, you know,
They did. They gave them a lot of money, and there's going
to
be
so,
more.
So I mean, look, the economy is very complicated, and it does take you had to be like really specialized to understand this stuff. And a lot of times, people think they understand, and they get it wrong, and then you have Jews like Hollywood Jews like deliberately causing confusion with movies like Wolf of Wall Street, where they supposedly enlighten you about how it works, and it's a total lie. Like what Matthew McConaughey says in that movie is a total lie. That's not how the economy works at all. But anyway, go ahead, Jeremy.
That was deep.
Yeah, that makes sense. And we had a conversation last year about immigration and how, you know, 20 years ago, the Jew Stephen Steinlight was going to try to control the conversation of immigration.
Yes.
And limit it down to stop anti-Semitic third worlders and stop a whitelash. But, you know, that's old news now, and I think they're vying for something bigger. But, yeah, I really appreciate the information, guys. It helps me out a lot to prep for my shows. And I'm going to get back to my dinner, which is garlic butter grilled shrimp over fettuccine Alfredo.
Oh my God,
and
I'm
garlic
fucking starving.
Here, I guess.
Oh, dude.
And I'm pairing that with a red Malbec. Yeah, red Malbec wine.
Dude, I'm so starving.
Although most people in Kentucky would pair that with a Mountain Dew for some reason, but I don't fucking know why.
Dude, yeah. I saw these couple. My girlfriend showed me this video of a fat couple at Walmart trying to buy like 568 cans of Mountain Dew, and they were like, are we gonna let him do it? And then the manager was like, we can't stop them. Like, so apparently they're not rationing the Mountain Dew, and they let them buy this much Mountain Dew. I'm like, at that point, like,
yeah,
I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, dude, that meal is like
wow
are the benefits of actually. The other thing is, you know, you can get, even today, you can get some decent foods. I mean, I don't know where you are, where people are in the country, but there, if you know how to shop, like, people are grabbing the packaged stuff and everyone's going on carb frenzies. Like, I've been eating well because I have a woman that cooks for me, and you know, she also knows how to shop better. So I've been eating pretty well. I do have, like, a closet full of ramen noodles, should it happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, haven't had to do that yet.
See, the funny thing about this is you probably had one of the worst diets like ever before this.
Me?
And now you're oh dude, you were like takeout, right?
Yeah, I was eating a lot of takeout. It wasn't bad food, it was expensive.
Oh well, yeah,
because I can't cook.
But now you got the girl taking care of all this, you know, like eating healthy and good. Yeah. God.
Yeah.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I'm enjoying the content. You have a good night.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. See you later.
All right. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know that about Zuckerberg until the other day. That's. What do you mean? I mean, you think he's going to try and take over all that?
Well, look. I said you didn't hear me. What I was saying. I was saying I think that they are testing the waters. I think that this is a new idea they want to move to when Bitcoin became a thing and they saw that this is a new way of running money and currency, because ultimately currency is mostly digital now anyway, even though it's still delineated in Federal Reserve notes, as you know patriot libertarians always like to say. Our money is still in Federal Reserve notes, it's still Fed currency, right? And so I think that eventually they are trying to start the process of creating some kind of global digital currency that will be now. Think about how fucking like kind of futuristic dystopian this would be. The Libra group, which would be like a private group that controls the Libra, which would then be the global electronic. I'm not saying this is going to be the one. I'm mm-hmm. saying they're exploring.
Right.
They're going. They're exploring this option. They're testing the waters on this. But how dystopian would that be? It's like literally something like the Umbrella Corporation or something like evil. Like that sound. It's like the Libra Group is like running the world's money or something. Like I don't right. know. That's just creepy as right. fuck.
Yeah. It's like what's the name of the company? Like it's a consortium, you know, and it's yeah. literally called consortium. You're like, whoa, that's like really just, you know, in the name sounds bad. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like I said, they tried to sneak a digital dollar into this in digital wallets into this stimulus package, and it didn't go through. That got taken out. I thought that was cool. Bill Gates was the one behind that, and it was him.
They talk about. The other thing is, one of the reasons they are delving into the crypto stuff, and because, like you said, the internet, I mean, one of the things they've been talking about is like the unbanked. Now, it's not so much in the U.S. because most people in the U.S. do have bank accounts. And if you're looking at people that don't, you're talking about undocumented immigrants, right? That's what they mean. Really good. That's about, what they're yeah. going for. They're going undocumented, illegal immigrants, yeah. aliens, illegal yeah, really, aliens.
Yeah. They want to give them stimulus. Yes.
Yes. They want to give them money.
Yes.
It's stimulus. It's just money. It is the same yeah. thing, right? They want to give them money so they can buy product.
Yeah.
And next
product. The funny part is they'll get cash back and send that money back to Peru.
Well, that's the thing. Know? I mean, how much money is are we losing? Like, the amount. There's been graphs I've seen, you know, always trust the graph of the remittance money going to the various countries around the world. The least of it goes to Europe. Like, Mexico is, like, the bulk of it. But then even China gets a lot. China! Gets a lot.
Well, they do because they have such a high Chinese population out west, and a lot yeah. of them are sending, you know, sending stuff home, you know.
Right, yeah.
Their grandmother collecting cans. And dude,
this
they,
was
you know,
like,
that.
Brown people have no loyalty to this country.
No.
I mean, Jews don't, but brown people don't either. The only mm-hmm. ones that might have somewhat of an interest in this country would be blacks, because they're not sending shit to Africa. You better believe it. But, like...
the brown... bags they
every
do
every other kind of brown person has another country that is their actual real country, and they send money back to it, everyone
yeah and they put, you know, they put the bumper sticker on their car and they put the flag on their yeah. rearview mirror. They yeah that's what they yeah that's who they really are, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how it is. Yep. And you know, and but white people oh man, Tony,
white people don't even do that. And then the funny thing is, that's what you get Jews telling you, and like people that hate white nationalism or white solidarity telling you, oh, you should be identifying with like your European heritage. And I'm like, well, I do, but that doesn't mean I'm organizing on that principle.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to organize like Norwegian Americans only. That's gay. It just sounds no. dumb.
Very small.
It's just, like, stupid. It's not even yeah. small, but it's just yeah. like, I mean, there's a lot in Minnesota and stuff, but
sure.
It's,
sure.
Just, it's just like, no, because yeah. what does that matter? It's not relevant. It's not right. a relevant distinction in America.
No,
yeah,
not at all.
So yeah. Anyway, let's get another caller before right, you crap out again.
All right. This is a coronavirus call. You want to do that
finally,
one?
Finally, yeah. Wow.
All right, we'll do a coronavirus.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
How's going on? Yeah, I was going to say, like, my normal job was being an engineer, but obviously that's completely shut down over here in Western Australia. So I just started volunteering for a local health campus, and I've got a lot of stuff to say, but it's looking beyond grim at this point over here.
Yeah, well, just go ahead and say it. Say it as fast as you can, because Johnny's internet is on a 20-minute interval.
Okay,
so.
Okay, trust me. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I was listening to that. So we had a legal firm pop up in this health campus to sign wills for 20-something-year-old nurses and young doctors. We had a death last night already, so that'll be our second for that campus alone. We have, we're all just basically saying, like, hey, this isn't going away. This quarantine breaks and jumps all the time. And either we have wrong data or this is just getting better at killing people. We have nurses being told that they're just going to get reinfected, even though they're young and et cetera, and it's just going to do just enough damage every single time that eventually they're just going to get worn down. That's why they're literally recommending that they get their wills in order now.
Jesus.
Rather than later. So I tend to network with a pretty sizable IRL group over here, and the association restrictions have basically destroyed our ability to organize over here already. We're like in the triple digits, and we broke down into small groups of 25 just to be safe, but now we can't even associate with each other. And I was wondering, considering that the virologists I've talked to have said that they think that this is just going to be here forever, do you think that, one, that there's going to be continuations on restrictions of freedom of association, and two, do you think we can even have a community building movement with those in place?
Yeah, that's a real tough question. I have not heard anyone saying that this is just going to be here forever. That's pretty scary to think about. And at its rate of, I think that, you know, my understanding, I'm not a biologist, my understanding is that, you know, ultimately people will have to get immunity to it. But again, then there could be another strain of this same thing that people don't have. Like, this is the 19th strain of coronavirus that they've ever identified, and it's really very contagious and relatively deadly. Although, again, people saying the deaths are, like, you know, below, you know, if you figure this or that, like, you don't have all the confirmed cases and not all cases, and, like, you know, it's really could be half of a percentage point. It doesn't matter. I don't like, that's bad if that's just in the air constantly. I don't know. I think we're going to have to see how it goes, but I think white nationalist lives are the most important. If you know what I mean, like, our lives are more like white people are more important than any, and then other people, and white nationalists are more important than, like, normies. And so I think that we should be, for now, while keeping our online communities, perhaps keeping away from each other, because we don't want if you had, like, one white nationalist social group that all got infected, that would be devastating to us, right? So that would be terrible. So I think for now it is smart to do it. And I don't think that it's feasible that forever we would be forced to be socially distanced and socially isolated. I think that can't be something that lasts. And if it is, then I don't know. I don't have any prediction for a future like that. I haven't thought about it enough to even have a prediction. But it would be very bad. So I think, like, doing this even for, like, 6 months and even to, like, a year would be fine. But I can't even imagine what it would be like for this is just the new normal or whatever is going to happen. But, I do think that, for now we have to think our lives are the most precious, and even more so than those of other white people. But of course we're not doing anything to hurt other white people. We're just protecting our own. So that's what I would say to that. So I'm glad that your group has decided to do that, at least temporarily, and we had to just figure out where this goes. Like, I don't know. I don't have an answer for a world in which everybody has to, like, keep their distance from everybody else. I just don't. My brain hasn't even processed that.
That's a very dystopian, yes, you know, weird Philip K. Dick sort of a thing that maybe,
I don't even know of an author that thought of that.
Yeah. No, I know what I'm saying. Like, even him, he's like, I mean, 6 feet apart at all times forever? What?
Even worse than that. I mean, because that's not, that's just a cope, 6 feet apart. That's a cope.
No, I know. I'm just, you know, saying. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lady, I had to go out. We ran out of some things, so I had to go get something. And there was a lady with a mask on behind me. It was freaking me out a little bit today, I gotta say.
Dude, what, you're not wearing a mask when you go out? Are you crazy?
What?
I'm wearing a mask. I've got the mask, really, and the latex gloves when I go out. Fuck yeah. My life is important.
Dude.
But I go out,
I was going to say, all the pubs are closed down. The liquor stores have put on massive restrictions. I think Ranbot's on suicide watch at this point.
Oh, man. Get him a stash. No, dude, when I go to the grocery store, I am wearing a mask and gloves. Like, I don't give a shit. And I'm not the only one. I mean, I'm in New York State. Fuck it. I am not going out unprotected.
You guys are in, according to the statistics, like Infection Central. Also, you know,
New York City is Infection Central. I could tell you the county. My county is not high on the infection list. And if I told you what number it was, then you'd know where I live. But it doesn't matter. It's County I'm in does not have a lot of cases, but and that's probably going to change. But I don't expect to get it or anything like that because, again, I stay indoors and go to the store like once a week very late at night with mask and gloves on, and that's it.
Yeah, the gloves thing, I disinfect everything. But the mask is, I mean, from everything that I've been reading and seeing, the mask is preventing the spread of it, not preventing the catching of it.
It does both.
Depends what type of mask.
It depends on the type of mask, but this is I've true. Got the type that only protects me and doesn't protect other people.
Yeah. Yeah, the duckbill mask or something like that. We have the duckbill mask to stop us from getting it. It depends what you're doing. If you're doing elder care, you wear the surgical mask, which stops you from giving it. If you're doing standard hospital work, you use the duckbill one, which stops you from getting it. I was also going to say, I got a little tidbit of information from one of the guys in charge over here. We thought it was the Chinese who brought it to WA. It was obviously the Chinese who brought it to nearly every other state in Australia. But the Asian population here is sedentary. It was actually the tribe that brought it to WA.
Yeah, Jews are actually, you know, that's another thing, the Jewish element of this is that I think, you know, the meme of, I also think that it was a little bit of a gay-op, the idea that we have to be calling it the China virus, and that Trump was so brave for doing that. I'm like, no, you know what's brave is calling it the Jew virus. Because I swear to God, here in the East Coast, Orthodox Jewish communities are getting slammed with this. Like, they have towns that are like, and this is, you know, I'm not going to be... Not just Curious Joel. Like, Curious Joel is one. Like, everybody in Curious Joel has this sickness. And the other thing that's happening, though, as a result of that, is the people that live in the towns around them are, like, asking the National Guard to quarantine them forcibly to keep them from going out. And, like, I've been seeing videos that then, you know, I won't share them because I don't want to get people in trouble, of people that run shops and stores. I saw a video of the guy. He was at a Jiffy Lube, and he tells a Jew to get the fuck out. And you know that the Jew is, like, filming him and kvetching, and you know that the kike is like, one of these bearded hat guys. He's, like, a beard hat kike, right? So the guy's like, nah, dude, like, stay out. And he closes the door and locks it. And the guy's like, oh, my God, I have an appointment, and you're not serving me, and how can you do this to me? And I'm like, no, fuck that. Go away. He doesn't want you in his shop. And, like, it's like Berlin, 1939. Again, oh, my goodness. You know, like, shut up.
Well, was it you that said that the National Guard was actually being sent there to keep them in as opposed to keep people out?
Well, in New Rochelle, New Rochelle became like the first contamination hotspot in the country, which is a Jewish community, a community in that's half Jewish, half black. Okay. So there's like a Jewish area.
Visibly Jewish.
Yes, visibly, but also normal Jews, like there's also like it's not just the Orthodox. It's like they dress normally and stuff too. Ben Shapiro types, modern Orthodox, they call them, where they are Orthodox and they will live in exclusive Jewish areas, but they don't necessarily wear the hats and all the stuff.
The Dr. Alan Burgers.
Yes, yes, those types. Yes, they can look like sort of like other people, not quite, but sort of. At least they'll dress like them. So yeah, like those type. But anyway, that became a contamination zone. They sent the National Guard in. But the National Guard was there to, like, clean up the public spaces. So they have, like, all these goyim come in to, like, clean their public spaces out. I'm like, fuck you. Clean it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the neighborhood should be surrounded with tanks and you just don't get to leave. You know? Like, that's what I would say. And, dude, okay, Lakewood, New Jersey is another one. Lakewood, New Jersey, they have been busting these Jews. And you know, here's the other thing that people aren't saying, because sometimes it does come out in the media that it is like the visibly Jewish community that are the ones that are just like ignoring the restrictions,
right?
But they won't say why, and the reason is because they don't follow orders from the goy. They see the health department and the health restrictions and the United States government even, or they see that as the goy. I don't know. I'm sure they're aware with how much power their people have. But if you're going to get like one of these Orthodox communities to obey a rule, you need to have a politician or somebody that represents the government talk to like a Jew, like a non-Orthodox. They're not going to listen to a Gentile ever. So if it's a Gentile that tells them, if it's a goy that tells them, you have to shelter in place, you have to stay home, they're just going to ignore it. And it's just not even, it's not even a thought. It's like a gnat buzzing in their ear. That's how they think of you, right? So somebody needs to talk to like a Michael Bloomberg type, or like some other big, you know, Jew that's not one of them, and then that'll be the liaison, and then they have to get one of their big rabbis to tell their people, and then they'll do it. But even then, if the rabbi doesn't feel like it, he's not going to. He's just, they're just going to do their thing, and they've got them, they telling themselves, like, don't worry about it, this isn't for us, this is for the goy. It's obviously not true. But in Lakewood, New Jersey, they have like soccer moms are like wanting to like napalm the Jewish neighborhood, because because they're like, if they come anywhere near my kids, like these little fucking, you know, these small headed like mothball smelling weirdos that come out of that neighborhood, if they come anywhere near my fucking kids, I want the National Guard to like firebomb that neighborhood. Like, they are talking about like redacted shit, like, and it's happening up here too. You know, the people that live around these people want to redact them because they know that they're fucking plague carriers.
I was gonna say one thing before I leave. I'll just like to shill for the racist war and everything by scratching base Finian. It's basically, if you're an Australian listener, it's really just FTN but focused on local issues.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, great. Where can people find that?
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, all right.
It literally just Google search is the first thing on Spreaker.
Oh, okay. Wow, great. Yeah, so get that. As long as that's still available on Google search, then get that and get that in your bookmarks.
There you go. Yes.
Yep.
Do it now.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So Marcus wants me to play a message.
Sure.
So I'm going to play it from my phone. And, you know, before we take another caller, let's see.
He tried to get me to do it. I can't get it.
Fucking gossipy shit, man. There's more important shit going on right now. I just got a disturbing update in regards to the coronavirus. I think we all know that, you know, the virus is particularly deadly when it comes to the elderly. They're saying, you know, 8 to 15, even possibly up to 20% mortality rate. But a study was just released. I was just perusing it a moment ago, and it turns out that there's actually a 100% mortality rate among another key demographic. And apparently the coronavirus will kill every single AMNAT because Trump is such a moron, and because the Chinese are actually handling this like infinitely better than America is. And I thought we were going to have to wait till the election for AMNAT like as a thing to be dead, but Corona-chan just came by and like completely murdered that whole movement.
Okay.
All right.
I thought that was going to be a serious message there, but yeah. Well, I thought, you know, I'm expecting the, as I call them, the traditional Weinstein party to be rushing to the defense of Woody Allen pretty soon, because, you know, Woody Allen's book was shut down by women. Women shouldn't be able to let men tell men what books they can publish. And I'm like, that's, anyway, I don't know. What I want to know is this, seriously, and I, again, on some level, I don't like doing this stuff, but there are some things that sometimes have to be said. If you don't believe women, where the fuck were any of you for Augustus?
Right.
If you don't believe women and you shill for Harvey Weinstein, but you won't come out in defense of Augustus, then I just don't, I think you're a scumbag. Okay? I think you're a scumbag. You think Harvey Weinstein is better optics than him? Really? I don't think so. Anyway, that's all.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. That's a very, very good point too.
Look, if I would believe you if you were consistent on this issue, then I would believe that there's not a Jew telling you what to do.
Yep, sounds a lot like feminists when it comes to like rape statistics and stuff. When it, you know, they same thing.
Anyway. Whatever. Enough about that. Let's take another call. We got 15 minutes left.
Weinstein party. I like that.
Yes, yeah, the TWP, traditional Weinstein party.
Yes. All right. Joey Bowles. He's on the ground with the, all right, in the greatest city in the world. All right. Let's see.
Oh.
Oh boy.
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
call in from New York City. You know, we got a lot of cases going on here, and I just wanted to kind of set the record straight. The government's lying, and numbers are definitely still going up exponentially, even though they say that they're not. Just to kind of like dovetail off what you were talking about before, Mike, I've been watching the numbers pretty much since they started reporting them honestly here, which was about last Monday. Mm-hmm. 330 on Monday, and then Friday they shot up to 4,800. So it's an exponential growth. It was going up by like 70% per day. The trend followed all the way to Monday. It got up to 18,000 on Monday. And then we're supposed to believe that it steadied out and started becoming like a linear trend, 5,000 per day. My theory for that is that the healthcare system is essentially getting overrun. They're getting their resources are stripped to the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that, like, they know that eventually they're all going to be gone. But they know that people aren't going to just riot here the way that they rioted in Ferguson or in, you know, any of these other places that we've seen rioting before, looting happening before. People, when they get to the point of rioting here, it's going to not be because they just think that, like, there's no law enforcement and they can steal a TV from Best Buy. It's going to be because they're desperate, because they ran out of food, because they feel like it's worth the risk because, you know, their child needs medicine or something like that. Mm. The situation is going to get that dire. Like, I mean, like, try going anywhere in the city right now and finding meat on a shelf, on the shelf in the grocery store.
I mean, God bless you. I mean, say a prayer. Like, I don't know if you can, like, what you can do. Or I hope you're stocked. I hope you're prepped and you can just stay away from other people. I would not want to be in that city right now. I mean, I moved away 3 years ago, and knowing what I know about how the city operates, mm-hmm. like, people having more than 2 days of groceries is just, like, unlikely, generally speaking. You know, when I was there, and people are used to going out in the corner store every day and getting what they need, and then that's it. And I don't even know how people, I mean, you know, I hope you're stocked and ready. You know, yeah. And the thing is, I got an explanation for that trend with the figures. Is what happens is, they are overwhelmed. And when people, like, cause if you look at the, there's not just like the testing, it's like the percentage of people tested that come back positive. It's like 90% because people are sick. And then they go and get tested, and like, yeah, you got it. And so that's why, and they only can test so many per day. So that's
or
why
they're
you're
fine,
getting...
and then they're sitting in line next to people that are already sick. Like,
well, I see the line.
They're retards.
They're fucking morons. No, there's fucking morons. I see these fucking idiots like going to line up around the block at the hospital to get tested. And I'm like, are you crazy? The last place in the world I would want to be anywhere near is a hospital in New York City.
Right.
Another aspect to all this stuff going on, like, with the executive order from the governor. So a lot of people in the mainstream, they're kind of praising him. They're saying, like, oh, yeah, you know, he's being very hands-on. He's this 100% workforce. That's total bullshit. I'll tell you right now, there's people that I know that they're like, they say that it's 100% shutdown of non-essential, and then what happens is that, you know, the bureaucrat gang, like the bribery happens at the governor's office, where a little company is going to bribe them to give them the label of essential services. I got a buddy who works in hazmat who's cleaning out like not even chemical or hazardous waste in school buildings that have been fucking empty for like 3 weeks. I got guys who are working in construction, managing jobs where all they're doing is, you know, redoing the roadway. Like, what the fuck are you redoing the roadway for, bro? Like, they got Humvees and emergency medical service vehicles that need those. Like, those are not essential services. Construction and chemical removal, like, all that stuff is for stuff related to the virus. If you don't need to do it, and there's people also who work on computers, they polish seats all day. Like, that work with these things, that they're telling them, you know, you're an essential service. Like, they're on the front line fighting the disease. No, this is just some bullshit that employers probably slip a little bit of money to the governor's office, yeah, and absolutely. They tell them, oh, okay, here's your excuse to be able to lay off your people if they don't show up to work. And it's basically like saying, okay, now you're an essential worker. You either come in or you don't, and we fire you, and you don't get your unemployment. So what's it going to be that kills you, bankruptcy or the disease? Fuck you.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. And you know shit like that goes on in the city where everything is a fucking corrupt scam in that fucking place. Not that, you know, other places are much better, but yeah, that place is always run on, like, greasing the wheels, and somebody knows somebody, and they slip in some money, and it's usually Jews that are doing it, but other people will do it too. But, like, yeah, as soon as, if the governor is going to say only non-essential, and I didn't even know this little angle on, like, you can lay off people if you're an essential service and they refuse to come to work. I didn't even figure that angle. That works perfectly. Now you're gonna get, like, some fucking internet company.
And practically everybody I fucking know is in essential services, apparently.
Yeah, like, all of a sudden, bullshit. Like...
Like, that's the little fucking Talmudry that they slipped in the fucking... fortune cookie.
Well, it's always it's they the just do so whatever they deem cookie, whatever they deem an essential service, right? So I don't trust them to do that properly.
Yeah, like it's like saying we can't deal with rape allegations because then it's just going to hurt white people. No, everything's on essential services. No, fucking, it's bullshit. Like, everybody I supposedly know works in essential services. The only people who don't is fucking, like, Wall Street financiers and motherfucking bloggers for Huffington Post. Like, they're free to stay home and order their Chinese food delivery. Meanwhile, like, I mean, it's basically, like, anybody who's got a job that's not a waste of fucking paper. But here's the thing, like, you know, as far as what the outcome is going to go, I definitely am prepared. You know, I started stocking up on food. And also, like, you know... Like, everybody's a fucking smartass. They're like, oh, you need hand sanitizer. Oh, no, there's no hand sanitizer. Oh, no, I don't know that isopropyl alcohol will do the same fucking thing. Like, geniuses, right?
Yeah.
I started prepping, like, back in the beginning of January when I knew this shit was going to fucking possibly... I didn't know for sure it was going to happen here. But up until Friday last week, my expectations have pretty much been spot on. But on Friday last week, I realized, like, oh, shit. Like, New York City is only going to be an epicenter in the United States, but it's going to be the singular epicenter in the early stages of this. Because keep in mind, like, all the major cities in the country, L.A., San Francisco, Miami, Houston, Illinois, Chicago, all these other cities, they're going to have the same fate that we have, but they're going to have it later on. And what you're seeing right now are the initial salvos of the federal response to this thing. So with New York City being what it is, geographically speaking, it's very easy. Like you said, all these people are doing the flight maneuver out of here. They're going to Connecticut. They're going to Florida. They're going to Jersey. Like, very, very quickly, I guarantee you, they're going to barricade in all the bridges and roads. It makes total sense. Like, you've got natural land barriers containing Manhattan, Staten Island, Brooklyn, Queens, Nassau, and Suffolk. Like, they're just basically going to say that's not America for the next couple months while we sort this out. And I'll tell you what, some inside baseball, I got a buddy of mine who works concrete dispatch, and he fucking told me that last week they put an order in for roadway work on all those bridges and tunnels going out. So make no mistake, they're going to start setting up, like, the same day that they started showing all those videos on Twitter with the Humvees and the Brady vehicles, like, you're going to start having military roadblocks and checkpoints at every single bridge and tunnel going out of the city. I expected them to have that by Monday, but I guarantee it's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. The only reason I didn't even leave the city when I, you know, pretty much came to this is because, look, man, I got parents, I got grandparents here. I'm not leaving them behind, man. Fuck.
That's the thing is that, like, I think I want to say fuck New York.
We see what happens when niggers riot. We don't see what happens when niggers get hungry.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I want to say fuck New York, but then I think, like, there are good people there, and I know there's good people there. I remember all the good people there, and those people have elderly relatives and stuff like that. And then I'm like, fuck.
Man,
if only I could, like, teleport all those people out.
Listen, you have my permission to say fuck New York. If I die and this place goes down with it... Right. Shit, but...
Well, I'll take that, then.
Like, this is
but, like, look, again...
The virus. This is epidemic.
I'm just glad I got the fuck out of that place. I am so glad I got the fuck out. Like, I can't even...
I'm glad for you, too.
But, you know, I don't know, man. I'll be praying for you. Stay safe and your family. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in that fucking place right now. Like, up here, I'm not even that far. I'm, like, 60 miles north, and it feels relatively... It doesn't feel like... When I go to the store the last couple weeks, it's like, yeah, like, people are wearing masks and shit and keeping away from each other. There's not that many people out. But it doesn't feel like there's that. But it's not that crowded up here anyway. So, you know, if I haven't seen military vehicles or Humvees or anything like that up here. So, you know.
Actually, there was something that happened up near you. There was a bunch of guys, like militant guys, that were wearing face masks and they weren't practicing social distancing. That was when Patriot Front demonstrated outside of Purdue Pharmaceuticals, Stamford, Connecticut, to protest against them causing the opioid crisis and killing all these Americans with their fucking junk. That happened about a weekend ago, and it was really commendable. So for everybody like that, patriotfront.us/join. Great organization, greatest group of guys in the country. They're doing it the right way. And, yeah, listen, I'm a big fan of you guys. I will stay safe. You guys stay safe. God bless you.
Yeah, it's too bad that that demonstration was overshadowed by Corona Chan. And if and when we get through this, I will join that demonstration next time. I've been talking about wanting to do that for a couple of years. I'm glad some guys finally did it. But, yeah, absolutely. 100%. And, yeah, you know, God bless, say a prayer, and keep fucking safe in that fucking place.
Yeah.
I'll be fine, Mike. I got everything set up nicely here. I'm all prepared. I got my emergency plan with my family. My place is barricaded up.
All right, good. Good.
Yeah. I'll let you take another call before this is over. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Talk to you later, man.
All right, Joey.
See you. Good night.
Yeah. All right.
And I would not want to be anywhere in there. Dave from Chicago says he can get in and out in 90 seconds.
All right. Yeah, bring him in, and then we're going to go in a couple minutes. See, he talked to someone from fucking New York, and I want to talk like this again, you know?
I know.
It's like a fucking addiction.
No, it's horrible, man. I wouldn't want to be there.
No, I thought you meant like talking like this. You know, I saw that video of that fucking Jew talking like this the other day. I got so mad.
Yeah.
I was like, stop appropriating my fucking culture. Heeb.
Yeah, somebody brought up Andrew Dice Clay, and I was like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's a Jew Gene.
Yeah, he's not even. What's his name? Silverstein?
Hashtag regional accents, am I right? Regional accent gang.
I didn't hear that.
Regional accent gang.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know how I'm going to follow that New York call. That guy was great. A lot of what I got to say is actually just echoing that. Like, here in Chicago, like, I got somebody, doesn't matter who, works in healthcare, and they're getting noticed from CDC that the CDC doesn't calculate peak here in Chicago for like another 2 weeks till we hit peak here. And they've been mobilizing people in healthcare who are like out of healthcare, like retired. They're trying to get them out of retirement and back into the hospitals. Like, so they're still ramping this stuff up. Probably the big thing though is, and I forget if the last caller said this or not, nobody I know has been tested. I know people who've got symptoms, and actually, I was sick with something very similar like 2 months ago. So was my wife, my kids. All was sick. Fever for a couple days, coughing for like quite a few weeks, the whole nine yards. Nobody got tested. People went to the doctor, right? And they're like, "Hey, I got all these symptoms." Doctor's like, "That's probably the flu. Go home." It's like, "No test." He's like, "Nah." It's like, so I don't buy, like you, Mike. I don't buy the numbers. I don't buy this whole like, "Oh, the curve's flattening." It's like, no. I don't know anybody who's gotten tested for this thing, but I know plenty of people who got symptoms who are sick.
Well, the testing, it's like, they don't have them. Like, they don't have the tests. Like, we don't have a lot of tests. So how are they going to test? That's why the doctor said that. Like, if it was like, you know, he could do, you know, like a throat culture or something like that for strep, and it comes back, like it turns blue and you've got strep, whatever it is, like they can do that real like, they don't have that shit. Like, they don't, I don't know what it would take to do that. But again, they just don't have it. Of course, you know, Mossad managing to nab where they got another 400,000 kits I read today. Like, that they got another 400,000 kits for Israel. And I'm like, great, that's nice. I guarantee you those are coming out of our fucking wallet and our ability to test over here, too. Because they won't tell you where they're getting them. But, but like, yeah, like, they just can't do it. And so they don't test until people are bad. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you got it. Oh, now you're dead. So, like, when, like I said, the people that they are testing are people that are already very sick. That's why they're testing them, and that's why they're getting like a high percentage, like a very, very high percentage positive rate of like 80% to 90% in some places. Because it's like, and that's why the New York, it's like, now I've gotten to the point where, yeah, it goes up 5,000 every day, because that's how many tests they can do every day. You know what I mean?
So everybody out there is like, don't buy into this whole, like, like, people are starting to back off of how important it is. It's like, no. They're not testing. That's why these numbers are flattening.
What I'm saying is white nationalist lives are the most important lives there are. Our guys' lives and you and your family and our people's lives are the most important lives. I mean, white people are more important than any other people, but we're the most important of white people. So All you have to do, don't fall victim to Twitter trends. Yeah, that's good, right? I like that, right? Actually, victim to Twitter trends. Don't fall victim to Conservative Inc. trying to white pill you. Don't fall victim to Just the Flu, bro. It's just a line, bro. That's my take. Bruh. Just a line, bro. Fuck the economy. Don't fall victim to that. Stay safe. Like, all it matters is your life, and your life is the most important thing, and all our lives are the most important thing. And it's, what is it, a few more weeks or months of just of being careful and taking precautions. Don't get bored with it. Don't want to be the guy with the hottest take on the block because you want to follow, like, a political line that goes along with Conservatism Inc. or something. That's stupid. That's actually the most stupid thing you could ever do. Be smart. Mm-hmm. Just be smart. It doesn't cost you anything to be smart and have a lower time preference. Have low time preference and be smart. It doesn't cost you anything in the end. And what happens? Maybe it is a big nothing burger. I seriously fucking doubt it. First of all, it's already not a nothing burger already. But maybe it's not so bad and it's going to peter off. I don't think so. But let's say that it does. And you then, what did you do? You were careful about it for another little time. For another few weeks or months.
Right.
Wow. What a moron you are. Like, don't worry about it. Don't fucking worry about it. This is how they get you. It's making you worry about stuff like that. I am not going to be going out into large crowds. I'm not going to be not wearing my mask and gloves when I go to the grocery store. I'm not going to, you know, that's how I am. That's my take on this. I'm just, that's where I am. And, you know, like I said, if you want to get out of the house, go for a hike. That's totally safe.
Yeah. This is true. Go for a walk in the woods.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Right on, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Everybody stay safe and healthy.
All right, Dave.
Yep. Everybody stay safe and healthy, and we will see everybody 2 weeks. I'll be here tomorrow on Tedious. Johnny's gone. The Paranormies. Check out my interview with Horace. It's half of it's on BitChute, and then the other half is on his paywall.
I'll be doing one of those soon with him.
Yeah,
that was good stuff.
Yeah, it was great. I had a lot of fun doing that. And
he's a good guy. He's a great guy. One of my best friends. I love that guy.
Yeah, we're gonna get him on TRS soon. He can pimp his stuff, and he'll pimp our stuff and whatever. Everybody will do their stuff and whatever.
Everybody's stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, we will we'll see you soon. We're always going to be here, you know, until who knows what. But we're here for now. So we'll see everybody soon. And goodbye. Good night. Yes. So.
There we go.